Well, Holmes, are you going in?
I think I detect impatience in our driver's whistling.
What you detect is merely lack of musicality. You'll be patient enough for the fare and his tip.
And Inspector Hopkins? You want to know what you've discovered? I'm rather curious myself.
You'll hear it all, Watson. In good time, in good time. Mr. Hopkins, he must learn patience, as I've tried to teach him before.
But he's in there now, convinced he has solved a most brutal crime, and yet you know he's wrong.
Do you think, Watson, that in my career I can ever have done more harm by discovering a criminal than was done by the crime itself?
Perhaps.
I think so.
Unavoidable at times, surely.
Unavoidable, as I wonder. Might it not be better in such a case to play tricks with the law of England rather than with my own conscience?
You mean conceal evidence?
Yes, Watson. I suppose that is what I mean.
The Abbey Grange by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Penny Downey as Lady Brackenstall and Andrew Wincott as Inspector Hopkins. The Abbey Grange.
To understand how Sherlock Holmes could be driven to consider toying with the law of England, we must go back some few days from that troubling conversation outside Scotland Yard in the winter of 97. Debating with himself the conflicting demands of conscience and legality, Holmes had sat withdrawn and huddled in a corner of our cab, his brows drawn down, face half hidden by the brim of his hat and his upturned collar. But on the morning the case began, distressingly early on a bitterly cold morning, his face was eager, his eyes bright, lit by a candle in his hand as he tugged at my shoulder.
Watson, come on, Watson, wake up.
What is it?
The game's afoot. Up you get.
What game? What time is it?
Almost 6:30. Our cab will be here any moment. Into your clothes now, quickly.
Holmes, I'm not leaving out of bed at 6:30 on the coldest morning of the year without some explanation.
Here's your explanation. A note from Inspector Stanley Hopkins. He has a murder for us. The clever fellow.
Here, Watson. Read it aloud. The effort of concentration may help to awaken your brain.
I am awake. Not happy to be so, but I am.
It's from Marsham, in Kent, Abbey Grange.
Oh, I see. Written at 3:30 a.m.
It's admirable precision from Hopkins. Yes. My dear Mr. Holmes, I should be very glad of your immediate assistance.
Let me go on. In what promises to be a most remarkable case.
He's called me in 7 times before, has Hopkins. Yes, on each occasion, his summons has been entirely justified. Let's hope it's so again.
It is something quite in your line, except for releasing the lady.
Releasing the lady?
Except for releasing the lady, he will see that everything's kept exactly as he found it.
Yeah. Well, the fellow does try to follow my methods.
I beg you not to lose an instant, as it is difficult to leave Sir Eustace there. Yours faithfully, Stanley Hopkins.
Very coherent, is it? The note does show considerable agitation. Most promising.
No mention of murder.
Sir Eustace, I'll wager, is the victim. The body is left for our inspection.
Oh, well. Promising indeed.
Now, what else might be deduced from that note?
Well, seems we're moving in high life. Cracking paper, EB monogram, coat of arms, picturesque address.
Not bad, yes. Well, you're almost awake. And the murder, of course, was committed before 12 last night.
How can you tell that?
By a knowledge of train times and simple reckoning. Local police called in, they communicate with the yard. Hopkins goes out there, he wisely sends for me, a fair night's work.
Yes, I do think we'll have an interesting morning.
Yes. And like the other cases Hopkins has put our way, this one will almost certainly find its way into your collection. You do have some power of selection, Watson, which atones for much I deplore in your narratives.
Not that again.
Just that again. Your fatal habit of looking at everything from the point of view of a story instead of a scientific exercise.
It's too early.
You ruin instructive and even classical demonstrations by imbuing them with spurious glamour.
Being dragged from bed at an unearthly hour to inspect some murdered Sir Eustace holds little glamour for me. Why don't you write them yourself?
I will.
You will?
Yeah. Yes, I propose to compose a textbook which will...